You're listening to Not Many of You Should Become Teachers, a podcast that explores the world of K-12 education as it intersects with the Christian faith. You might call us extreme moderates. We're skeptics who try not to be cynics and are allergic to cheap rhetoric. Welcome to the show. So Dave, with all summer breaks come summer vacation. And however, this summer, although both of us may be going on a form of summer vacation, we are planning our own little jaunt or trip to Grand Rapids, Michigan this fall. So do you want to maybe talk about what's going on this October?
Yeah, I'm excited that we can return. I'll be returning for the second fall, and you'll be joining me and another couple colleagues to Western Michigan, to Calvin College. And we're joining up with the Kyers Institute, their conference on shaping Christian learning, which is sort of, I mean, I just used all the big buzzwords, Riley.
Yeah.
Michigan, Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
Calvin College, Christian learning.
Kyers Institute.
Kyers Institute.
David Smith.
Yeah, our listeners might remember the episode where we spoke of the article by David I. Smith, and he's the author of On Christian Teaching. Maybe let's dive in there. I threw a copy, or you ordered your own copy. I don't know what happened. I got you onto that book, and you've started into it.
Yes. So I started reading David Smith's On Christian Teaching. I read the first chapter, and I was thoroughly enthused by some of the things that he had to say, because that first chapter was essentially approaching Christian education as something more than just Christian perspectives and fruits of the Spirit in our demeanor. So he essentially said that, like, if you have a teacher that is kind and patient and gentle and faithful, that's fabulous. And if you have someone who teaches a Christian perspective and integrates it into their class, that's also fabulous. But he says that that is short of the mark. He gives examples, and we had actually talked about this when we read one of his interviews that he gave
the other day. Leadership.
Yeah, so he talks about specifically like a matching test that was given to his son at a Christian school, and it was on like theological terms. I think he says actually every vocab word you need to speak Reformed. So you would basically like connect the dots between the word sanctification and the given definition, or the word justification and the given definition. And he was talking with his son about this, and he was quizzing him and helping him study. And then his son replied by saying, "Well, stop quizzing me like that. I don't need to know it that well, because it was just a matching test." And that was made evident to the students.
That was the aha moment for Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
That actually, that pedagogy, that form of assessment or that form of instruction actually speaks to your faith to some extent.
Sorry, I'm just, there's about 55 graduates walking by. I'm just distracted.
And they're middle school siblings, I recognize.
Yeah. For those of you who have not know, we're just sitting in studio and popping off episodes here as we go. So this is exciting.
Yeah, it's a good time of year to be doing stuff like this.
It is.
But I was challenged by this, that your pedagogy, like is as basically as your instruction and assessment in Smith's eyes can be Christian. What does your assessment and instruction say about your faith?
It implies something. It's all implied.
Yeah, implications with that. And I was in a conversation with a colleague, and we were talking about, I don't want to say that we were just talking about buzzword pedagogy, but we were talking about like some of the ideas around best practice and what that looks like. And they replied by saying, like, because they received a bit of pushback saying, where's the Christian perspective? Where's Christianity in this?
How are you integrating this?
And they replied saying, like, does it need to be everywhere? And that was kind of interesting, like on its own. And I do recognize that, though.
It's interesting what that betrays, right? I mean, just in terms of an attitude towards faith and learning.
Well, both of them. I think Smith isn't in either of those voices. No. I don't think it's in the person saying, where's the Christian perspective? And I don't think it's in the person saying it doesn't need to be there. He's somewhere else saying that, like, that actually there's specific implications that come with some of these things that are Christian. Not saying it doesn't have to be. It just is. It says something about you. It says something something about your faith. So that's something that I am wrestling with right now in terms of what does Christian pedagogy look like, sound like, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, I'm sure best practice correlates into some of those implications. But recognizing that and being challenged by that is something that I'm at right now. So I'm looking forward to continuing that conversation at the conference in Grand Rapids in October.
Yeah, and so we'll be on the ground at Calvin with the Kairos Institute, and looks like a fabulous conference. Maybe let's pull up some of the questions that are being asked at this conference. I know we will no doubt be live tweeting from the conference, and maybe even bring in some microphones in our
Live on location, Shaping Christian Learning 2019. Yeah, so here are some of these questions. So much of this stuff is
so relevant.
It's just so relevant in our conversation. So how are our students formed as people of faith, hope, and love? How do we design curriculum and teaching and learning processes if our goals include virtue or faith formation? How does faith inform the design processes that shape teaching and learning?
That's what you were getting at.
Yeah.
Actually.
So looking at exactly that. What are the commonalities and differences in how Christian learning is designed for different disciplinary contexts? How does the changing context in which we work affect the design of Christian learning? In what ways should we consider varied global intersections of faith and culture in our designs? How can we identify whether a way of designing Christian learning is a good one?
These are fascinating, and they're also really rich questions. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to hearing from so many voices that will be presenting, sharing ideas at this conference. And I think this is going to give us material. Right? Oh, what's this?
Photo shoot. They're also doing construction on a playground at our school. So
is that what this is?
Yeah, there's dump trucks in the back of our grad photos.
Yes, I think this material, Riley, will give us stuff. We're gonna be riffing on this for a while.
And I'm hoping that in doing so, with these voices, we're able to make connections, so that we can further a lot of their conversations as well through our medium.
Might have to order some more stickers.
Yeah, we might. Yeah, absolutely.
We need travel mugs.
Anyway, okay. Of course.
Yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself.
On tour.
Here's something that, Riley, as you were reading that list, got me thinking, and this might be something I'm going to project a little bit. We were talking before we started the show about just anticipating season 3 and where we might go with mm-hmm. the podcast, is we're pretty niche. Like, by that I mean we're talking the language of faith and learning, and so we sort of overlap a little bit. We're talking pedagogy and teaching, so there's that world, and then there's the theology, faith world, and we're melding the two together. I wonder to what extent, to use the IB phrase, to what extent there's a connection and overlap with best practice, like best pedagogy, beyond just the Christian element. Like, there's that distilling part, like we pull, well, this is distinctly or uniquely Christian. Mm-hmm. Where do we find commonality? Where is that divergence? I think that's something I want to explore a little bit in season 3 is, there actually is tremendous overlap. You're talking about kindness and postures, dispositions that you would have in an educator. And I'm thinking that was 95% of the teachers I had in all my public K-12 schooling.
Right.
What is the distinctive? Does it even matter? Maybe it's things that we think are supposed to be different or distinct. Maybe that is not the stuff we should be focusing on.
Or are we trying to find too many commonalities to some extent as well? Or, like, I even found, like, this is a side note, but then looking at things like in our Canadian Pacific Northwest context, we have Indigenous perspectives for learning. Mm-hmm. And I think to some extent, they do overlap with some Christian perspectives, which is kind of cool. But we can't colonize these things either. We can't say, oh, they're all the same, and then that's it. You know what I mean? That's actually ruins the whole idea of having first people's principles. Mm-hmm. So I totally accept the idea that where do we diverge? But then also, like, are we over-umbrellifying. That's a word I just made up.
I like it.
What Christian education is.
And I think this is a conversation thread that I would love to see happen in future episodes, is talking about the nature of our own context, of being in what we would call a pluralistic society. Mm-hmm. Deep difference. There's a lot of scholarship, a lot of writing, a lot of thinking about this, of what does it mean to live alongside deep difference about ultimate questions? Because Christian education is going to get into that. It's going to get into the ultimate vision of the good, but we can also align ourselves with non-Christians, non-believers.
Oh yeah.
Massive ways, and we segregate ourselves often.
Yes.
In when it's not necessary.
Totally. How can we learn from people of which we may disagree to some extent?
And I think you just nailed it there by saying we are also learners. Mm-hmm. So we Christians and like we're of this tribe.
Yeah.
So we're speaking of ourselves. Christians have a very well-developed sense of we have an answer. We have knowledge we need to give.
Yes.
We're often the givers. We're not often willing necessarily to receive.
And that's what I love about the title of the conference. I originally, like in my head, like when you told me, like, oh, there's this conference, for the longest time, like all week, I said to myself, it's called the On Christian Teaching Conference. It's not. It's Kyer's Institute, Shaping Christian Learning. Mm-hmm. So it really is all about Christian learning. It's not about projecting.
It's not
faster
projection.
Or harder. It's about
absolutely
absorbing
disposition. Yeah. Just to go back even to a previous episode from summer school here, we were talking about conducive space. Mm-hmm. We were talking about worship music. We were talking about a chapel service.
Yeah.
What is conducive for Christian learning?
Totally.
What does it mean to have a Christian posture towards learning? These are the things you and I have been working with. I love all the guests we have. So like if we're projecting out onto season 3, we want to have more voices on here. Mm-hmm. Interview different folks and hear about how do we have these conducive spaces for faithful Christian learning.
Absolutely. Well, that's something to look forward to. Just so excited for the fall. And then also looking at, I think we'll also be at, ACSI is actually a global thing? But ACSI
the
Canada.
The I is international.
International. Okay, so international. But we'll be, ACSI Canada is associated with the school that we teach at. So actually, will you be there? You might not be there this year. You had a different conference, but I'm going to be there.
I am away. Oops. Yeah.
But hoping, again, to find an opportunity to be live on location at Calvin College, and then also looking at here, this Christian organization. But looking at that, season 3 is going to be exciting. And there's a couple of things that we just wanted to update you with. That's some things that we've been dreaming about. Some things our producers group has kind of been whispering
love
in our ears.
The producer group. Yeah.
Fabulous. But we're actually going to be moving to a slightly different schedule this fall. We're looking at going bi-weekly, so no longer weekly episodes, but every other week. Just for a couple of reasons, we're looking at what it is that we're creating. We really want to come up with something that is quality, and giving that extra week gives us time to really put the effort into saying, well, what is it that we want to say in this conversation, and not just add to a ramble, because there is so much ramble when it comes to edu Twitter or edu podcasts, right? So we really do want to be intentional with stuff like that. We hope that our audience would respect that and find that admirable.
And I think most people's phones just push the content. It's like, oh, new episode.
Yeah, so you don't need to wait. You just need to wait for your phone to buzz. If you've subscribed, that is. In addition to that, I'm really excited. I'm actually going to be traveling the world with a group of high school students joining an outreach team. So that's also going to be taking a bit of my time. And obviously taking time means a bit of time away from the podcast. So bi-weekly gives me a time to reflect on that as well as the podcast. So I'm excited for stuff like that. We also want to engage with people a little bit more. Like we had talked about our book that we kind of endorsed, The Grand Paradox, looking to maybe do
That we kind of endorsed.
We haven't read it yet.
We've not cracked the book open. So
then looking to book club,
join us.
Some of Ken Weitzman's work that was given to our graduates as they walked into the afterlife. That's what we're equipping them with. So looking at maybe a little mini online book club that we can engage through the podcast and Twitter. And then also looking on Twitter to maybe see if we can foster a space for a faith and learning Twitter chat, maybe the first of its kind, but jumping into this conversation about Christian education that is, like David I. Smith has mentioned, is deeper than having a kind demeanor and a Christian perspective. So it's all very exciting. That's all going to be season 3.
Lots of things coming down the pipes. I'm looking forward to that, Riley.
Yes. Yeah, so Yeah. Thank you for summer school, Dave. This has been fabulous. To everyone else that's been listening, I hope that you've enjoyed a bit of Faith and Learning Pro D while you sip your iced tea on the beach. And you should continue to, hilarious, continue to be in touch, whether that's on Twitter at Not Many of You or leaving us a 5-star review on whatever app that you listen to and subscribing so that you can be notified of new upcoming content. That would be awesome. If you're looking for our shows, show notes, blog, resources, you can all find that at notmanyofyou.com. It's been a great summer. Thankful for all you guys that are listening. We're continuing this conversation and it's fabulous. Have a great summer. Bye-bye.